welcome everybody on a Tuesday for the final time this year. Trash Talk with Tony Brodsky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today for the final time in 2021, Tyler Sawa is with me. Hello, Tyler. Thank you for stopping by. Thanks for joining me. How are you today? And also, it was a pretty good sports weekend here in the Motor City, I do have to say. I mean, it got off to a pretty rough start. You know, the Pistons, they got smoked by the Rockets on Saturday afternoon. But after that, things were going pretty well here in Detroit. Saturday night, you know, before they got shut down because of COVID, the Wings beat the Devils. Dylan Larkin, his first career hat trick. Tyler Bertuzzi had 2 goals. And by the way, speaking of Dylan Larkin, on Monday he was named the NHL's first star of the week, so we love to see that. Nice win by the Wings on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, what a day on Sunday! First of all, we had the Lions beating the Cardinals, which we'll talk about later here. But also, the Pistons finally won. They ended their 14-game losing streak. They beat the Heat, given the Heat had a lot of guys out because of injury. But, hey, a win is a win. That 14-game losing streak is over. The Pistons won. The Lions won. The Wings won on Saturday night. What a weekend for us Detroit sports fans.
So, Tony, which one got you the most excited?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, they were all exciting in their own different ways. You know, the Wings, that was a big win because they're still in the playoff mix right now. And that turned out to be a massive win because, you know, who knows when they're going to play again, unfortunately. The Lions win, like I said, we'll talk about that in a second here. That's huge in so many different ways. And then you got the Pistons win, ending that losing streak, finally getting a win. They were all exciting. I don't know if I could give you an answer to that question. I know that's kind of the cheap way out, but I don't know. I guess I would say maybe the Lions, because that was the one I really wasn't expecting. Yeah. But they were all exciting, though.
The Red Wings one was just insane, man. Like, the way that the game took place on Saturday night, you know, Saturday nights at LCA, man, during Red Wings games, and Dylan Larkin in his first career hat trick. I mean, that was an electric moment.
I did not know that was his first career hat trick. I was stunned to find that out. I was like, that's really his first career hat trick? But
yeah,
his first career hat trick. Like I said, Tyler Bertuzzi had 2 goals. He has scored in 2 straight games now. Seems like he's starting to heat up a little bit. We'll see if the unfortunate pause in the season will affect him or the team at all, but we'll see.
It's a fun hockey team right now, man. It gives me vibes of like the summertime when we were watching the Tigers. That's what this Red Wings team gives me the vibes of.
And the difference between the Wings and the Tigers, though, is that the Wings are actually kind of in the playoff mix right now, though. I mean, the Tigers, as good as they were so awful in the month of April, it just kind of took them out of the race even before they could even get into it, you know.
Exactly.
But the Wings, I mean, I have to check the standings, but
I think they're 8th or 7th. I think they're 8th.
As we are recording on Monday night, they are holding the number 2 spot in the wild card, and they're up by 3 points on Boston. So, yeah, they are very much in the race right now, which having the pause is going to suck, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But nonetheless, with that, Tyler, how are you? And how was your exciting sports weekend here in Detroit?
It was a great sports weekend, like you mentioned. And starting off Saturday night with the Red Wings, just a great start. And, you know,
well, the Pistons was actually the real start.
Yeah, but the real start of winning was Saturday night with the Red Wings. And then, yeah, Sunday was a good day, man. An unexpected day, I would say. Like, it's just
unexpected.
It's just a day you just did not expect coming into for both teams to win. And, you know, maybe the Pistons get a win, like, end their losing streak. And, you know, because you're playing a depleted Miami Heat team, like, that seems maybe potentially possible. But the Lions beating the Cardinals, and the way that it happened, it wasn't like some fluke win. They dominated them from the first play of the game to the last play of the game. Like, there wasn't a point really where you thought the Cardinals had an opportunity to win the game. And I know everyone has, you know, PTSD from the Lions just because they choke a lot of games.
Yeah.
I would say the only time I was like really scared and I'm like, here we go again, was when maybe Gaudney Kubike fumbled.
That's what I was going to say. When he fumbled, I was like, oh, geez.
It's like, here we go again. But then Amani comes back the next play, gets a hell of an interception. And that they flipped the script that game. So yeah, that was a great win. A win that encouraging for the Lions has been a while.
So let me ask you the question that you asked me. Without going too much into it, because that's obviously how we're going to spend the show today, if your answer is the Lions, what was the most exciting win of the weekend for you?
I would probably go the Red Wings, honestly, which is maybe a shocking answer.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that's maybe a shocking answer because I'm not the most invested with the Red Wings compared to the other three teams, but I don't know, man. The vibe of that team is just different, dude. They're a super fun team to watch, and I haven't been this involved in hockey ever. Like, this is the most involved season I've ever been with the Red Wings, and I'm really enjoying it. And I know you mentioned before the season, it was kind of a good time to get into the Red Wings because they're kind of like phasing out of that rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've enjoyed whenever I've had the opportunity to watch a game, and I got to watch, you know, a good portion of that game on Saturday, and it was electric to watch on from TV. And we went to a couple games this year. We went earlier in this week, and you know, another great game to attend. And so I'm going to go with the Red Wings just because of the circumstances of what, you know, that game meant, where, you know, the other two, like, it's the fifth one for the Pistons, and it was the second one for the Lions. And, you know, the Pistons are midway through their season, the Lions are late in the season, which,
yeah,
good wins, but the Red Wings game just meant more.
You know what? That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Very quickly on the Red Wings, you mentioned that we went to the game on last Tuesday. Yeah. That's actually good that you mentioned that, because I should apologize for not releasing an episode last week. We were planning to record like we usually do on Monday nights, but we all got busy last Monday night, including me. So I was like, we'll just push the recording to Tuesday night, last Tuesday. Well, then Tuesday night, me and Tyler, we got Wings tickets. So we're like, you know what? We'll just skip the episode. We'll come back next week, which is this week. So,
it was a good cause because it was a great hockey game to attend.
Those tickets are free, by the way. Shout out to Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, no, if we didn't get it for free, we would have recorded an episode.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But, yeah, that's where we were last week. And now we're back this week. Like I said, it's our final show for 2021. Just me and Tyler this week. And
but very quickly, I would have never thought, if all three teams won, I would have never thought the Red Wings would have been my highlight of the weekend.
I was stunned that you said the Red Wings. I for sure thought you were going to say Lions.
Yeah, I mean, that was my number two, obviously. It was a great win, but...
Pistons, why don't you? No.
I honestly watched the last like 5 minutes of that Pistons
no,
game.
No, 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 listen, that game was putting me to sleep in the first half. Like, I tweeted that, and I'm sure there's some people out there who probably thought it was sarcasm. It wasn't. My eyes were closing in the second quarter. Like, I needed coffee. I needed to get myself back up.
That's actually that's a good point. I was legitimately, I took a nap from 6 to 7. Yeah, I wasn't even up. Yeah, and then I got up, I went to my buddy's house, and I think we watched like the last 5 minutes, but I didn't really watch that game.
I'm not joking. That game was putting me to sleep. It was such a snooze fest, but hey, you know what? The second half was entertaining, though. My guy Killian has a solid game offensively and defensively after the foul trouble in the first half. Headband Sadiq is starting to figure it out. Masked Hami, he's been pretty good this season too. And it was a game that in which Cade didn't even play well because he was getting double teamed all night long. And we didn't shoot the three ball all that well. So it was a snooze fest early on, especially when Corey Joseph made his triumphant return. But it was a good weekend in the Motor City. It was a really, really good weekend. It started off pretty bad with the Pistons loss to the Rockets. But Wings win on Saturday night. Lions and Pistons wins on Sunday. Yeah, that was one of the better sports weekends, I would say, that we have had here in Detroit in about a minute. It's been a minute for sure. But nonetheless, Tyler, let's get into the program this week. One topic and one topic only, as I'm sure you can all guess, and that will be our reaction to the Mets hiring Buck Showalter. Oh, my bad. Could you imagine? That makes no sense to talk about on this podcast.
If we spent 5 minutes talking about Buck Showalter and the New York Mets.
Hey, the Oakland A's just hired their new manager. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Actually, we could talk about the new Mudheads manager. What's his name?
I don't even remember. Oh,
jeez. Oh, well, now we got to find that out with all due respect to the guy.
I know Tom Prince was the former manager.
Gary Jones. That's his name. Gary Jones. So, yeah, we're going to spend today's show talking about Gary Jones being hired. Okay.
Welcome to T-Town, Gary.
You know what? I can't wait to go back to Toledo. But before we get too sidetracked here, all jokes aside, we're talking Lions Day, obviously. So, let's get right into it. Let's react to that unbelievably shocking win over the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. Tyler, listen, I'm just going to repeat mostly what I said in my video after the game on Sunday, but like, listen, I'm still super happy as we sit here today on Monday, and even when this releases on Tuesday, I'm still super thrilled and pumped about that win for the Lions on Sunday. And you know, at the same time, listen, I do understand the people out there who might be frustrated after this win, because admittedly, I used to be a big tank advocate, okay? I used to be someone who was all for losing out, getting the top pick possible. You know, I used to be like that, admittedly. But then a few years ago, I sat back and realized to myself, you know, why exactly am I rooting for my team to lose? Because that's no fun. And, you know, I think it was Amani who said this after the game too on Sunday. These guys are competitors, man. You know, they're going out there to try to win. The players are going out there trying to win. They're competing their butts off for a win. Not losses, wins. The coaches aren't coaching to lose. They're coaching to win. They don't care about the draft pick. They want to win. So, like, as a fan, why are you rooting for your team to lose? That's no fun at all. And plus, too, another thing, I don't care where we're picking, first overall, second overall, wherever. I personally trust Brad Holmes to make the right pick regardless of where we are, because the people he has brought in here this season, particularly through the draft, they've been awesome. Brad Holmes' first draft class has done a really good job this season as rookies. And again, just the people he has brought in here too, whether it be the draft, through free agency, through trades, whatever. Most of the people that he has brought in here have really been balling out this season. So the whole argument of, oh, well, that win sucks because they dropped from 1-2. What if they win another game and they drop even further? I understand where you're coming from. But for me personally, I just don't see the fun anymore in rooting for your team to lose. Winning is fun. And also, wherever Brad Holmes is picking, I trust him to make the right pick. So, I understand if you're mad, but that's just not how I am anymore regarding the whole tanking conversation. But, you know, also, that was just a really exciting win on Sunday. Like, I don't know how you can't be just even a little bit excited after that win on Sunday. I mean, Tyler, that was a previously 111-1 Lions team that from start to finish, offensively and defensively, dominated a 10-win Cardinals team at home in Ford Field in front of a rocking place. Like, how can you not be excited about that? The Lions dominated that football game. They dominated the 10-win Arizona Cardinals as a previously 111-1 football team.
Yeah, you got to be excited about that.
You have to be. Everything was going right for the Lions in that game. I mean, the one time where it was like, oh boy, here we go, is when Iggy fumbled. But other than that, the Cardinals, from start to finish, there was never a point in that game where I was like, okay, Arizona might have a shot now to come back into this one. Never. I never felt that way. And there were so many guys that balled out in that game too, Tyler. Jared Goff had an awesome game. Craig Reynolds, Netflix, who, by the way, is now on the 53-man roster. Congrats to him. Very much deserved.
Unbelievable story.
You know, people were asking me where the Netflix nickname came from. Apparently, when we called him, he was on his couch watching Netflix, right?
Yeah. No, he introduced himself in the team huddle in the first preseason game.
I remember that. That's insane. Yeah, that's a really good story. I'm happy for Netflix. So yeah, Craig Reynolds was awesome. Josh Reynolds, he was big in that game on Sunday. And he's just been pretty productive for the Lions ever since we got him. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he is really starting to come on over these last few games too. The offensive line had a monstrous game. defensively, Charles Harris was a beast. Amani got his sixth interception. There's just so many people that had big games on Sunday. Aaron Glenn coached his butt off. Dan Campbell, MCDC, outcoached Cliff Kingsbury. Riley Patterson, we have a kicker now. Like, there's just so many things to get excited about after that win. I'm happy after that one, Tyler. I'm really happy after that one. Like I said, if you're mad because of the whole draft pick, there's a part of me that gets it, but then there's another part of me that goes, winning's fun. That win on Sunday was fun. Here's another thing, too, that I didn't have enough time to talk about in my video on Sunday. A previously 1-11-1 football team in which they were missing so many people. They were missing so many people on Sunday, Tyler. For example, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, TJ Hockenson, Frank Ragnow, Tracy Walker, Julian Okora. Like, they were missing
Trey
so
Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
Alex Anzalone. I mean, list
goes
on.
They were missing so many people on Sunday, and they still dominated a 10-win football team. And this is something that Mike brought up, too, in our group chat on Sunday. If he was here, I'd let him say it, but he's obviously not here, so I'll say it for him. This was a really good point by Mike. For this previously 1-11-1 football team to keep on fighting week in and week out and show the type of fight and grit that they are for Dan Campbell, that really says something, man. That really, really says something. After that win on Sunday, that was the first time this season for me personally in which I really felt like the culture was starting to change here, because again, this was a previously 1-11-1 football team against a 10-win team in Arizona. They could have easily just been like, oh, we're probably going to get destroyed. That's a 10-win team. We're a 1-win team. It's late in the season. Let's just get this over with. But that's not what happened. Dan Campbell has these guys fighting. He believes in them. They believe in him. Sunday was really the first time in which I felt like the culture is changing here. And while a number one pick would be great, I think this is even better. It feels like the culture is starting to change here. Nationally, people are really talking highly about Dan Campbell and the Lions. And that, I think that beats a number one pick for me personally.
It's going to be interesting to see how they respond with these upcoming three games. I'm not saying they have to win out all these three games, obviously, but it's going to be interesting to see how they respond, you know, after coming off an emotional game versus the Cardinals where, like you said, they outcoached them. They outplayed them in every single phase, offensively, defensively, special teams. Every phase, they beat the Cardinals. And that was a very important game for the Cardinals. So it is interesting to see how, you know, the Lions kind of build off of this. Is this something that was a fluke, or is this something that this is a true foundation being built? Is it a true culture being changed right now? And I think that's something to keep tabs on with the upcoming three games. And, you know, like I'm saying, they don't have to win all these three games for that to be answered.
Even if they don't win another game this season, like, I'm still happy. I still feel like the culture is changing.
Yeah. As long as they fight every game and there's no eggs out there.
Yeah, don't quit for the final. Like let's say hypothetically, because Jared Goff just placed on the COVID list earlier today on Monday. Mm-hmm. Let's say they have to go out there on Sunday against Atlanta with Tim Boyle at quarterback and they don't play well and they lose.
Yeah.
After that, if they then look like they're kind of, I'll say, out of it for the final two games of the season, and I'll be like, okay, well, that wasn't a great way to end the season. But if they keep on fighting in these final three games of the season, even if they're all losses, if they end the season with just these two wins, I'm still extremely happy.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Something that I took away from that Sunday, which is just so encouraging, that we finally have a legitimate offensive line where it doesn't matter who the hell is running the ball. It doesn't matter who's running the ball. We've had a running game all year, and that just gives me vibes of like a Kyle Shanahan-type offense, like the San Francisco 49ers, where it doesn't matter who's running the ball for them. They're always going to get, you know, positive yards. They have a good scheme in place where they're going to get good yardage, and I'm seeing that now with the Lions. Like, it doesn't matter if it's DeAndre Swift. It doesn't matter if it's Jamal Williams. It doesn't matter if it's Craig Reynolds. They're running the ball really well. We've seen even earlier in the year, it was Jamar Jefferson sometimes running the ball well. Godwin Igbuka had his moments. You know, the last 2 weeks have been tough for him with some fumbling issues. But I think that is a great foundation being built, that you got one side of the trenches already established. And that starts with the guy you drafted, the 7th overall pick in Penei Sewell, to go along with the guys you already had. And one of your, if not the most critical player, is not even part of it right now. And he's going to be there next year. And I'm mentioning Frank Ragnow right now. Yeah. And when you put him in there with this offensive line already, that's just a very, very good sign. And I know it's a cliche, you win in the trenches. I think the Lions have figured out one side of the trenches already.
I mean, it was very clear after his first draft that Brad Holmes wanted to build the offensive line and the defensive line.
Just the trenches, yeah. He wants to build the trenches, yeah.
And I was a big fan of that. You could go back to the podcast where we reacted to the draft. I was a big fan of Brad Holmes trying to build that offensive line and defensive line first. Because you get situations like this. Like you said, Tyler, we don't need some star back there. Though, obviously, we would prefer to have DeAndre Swift back there. Like, as long as the offensive line is producing, it doesn't really matter who's back there.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's a cliche, but, like, that's how good football teams mm-hmm. win. Pressuring the quarterback and, you know, on the offensive side, protecting your quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's how you win football games. And I think the Lions have a legit offensive line. So you've already figured out one side of the trenches. And I think with this upcoming draft class, not trying to get too ahead of myself right now, but I think you have a legitimate shot to maybe not fix it completely, but definitely add to that defensive side and add to the defensive line.
It's refreshing to see the offensive line playing the way that they are, not just on Sunday, but throughout the entire season. Because I forget who I saw put this out on Twitter. It might have been Kyle Mankey in one of his recent articles. But someone mentioned how we went from having, you know, so many different people at running back for us. We had Kerryon Johnson, Zach Zenner, Bell, Reggie Bush.
Like, Riddick, Amir Abdullah.
Oh, my goodness. We had so many different running backs throughout the years. And unfortunately, it just seems like none of them really panned out the way we wanted them to. But now here we are seeing Craig Reynolds come off the practice squad and ball out. DeAndre Swift, when he's healthy, he's been balling out. Jamal Williams has played his role very well. Jamar Jefferson has had his moments too. Iggy, when he's not fumbling, he's having some nice moments as well. And this is all because of the offensive line mostly.
Yeah, the holes that they're creating is what's helping out these running backs, and that's why you're getting big runs. And it's nothing we've ever seen as a Lions fan.
No.
I mean, like, the only last running game we've had was before our time, was Barry Sanders.
We've spent so many years in running backs trying to replace them.
Yeah. No, and I think with this philosophy, this is like today's football, where you don't have to invest into top running backs in the draft or free agency. Mm-hmm. And that's what Brad Holmes is doing. And that leads to good football, because then you could use that money that you're not paying towards a running back, or that high draft capital that you're not using towards a running back, you could use it on more important positions. Maybe you use another offensive lineman or another defensive lineman, whatever you need at the time, a linebacker, corner, who, you know, whatever. They're proving that they don't need a high, you know, a top-notch running back to still have a running game. And that's just a really good recipe to have a good football team.
I do want to talk a little bit about the draft pick, our first of two draft picks later in the show. But before we get to that, Tyler, I do want to get your overall thoughts on Sunday's win.
You see, for me, like, this one was a lot of fun. Like, if they won this game last year, late in the year, like here, I'll bring an example. When they beat the Bears last year with Daryl Bevel, when Daryl Bevel was interim coach, I didn't have any excitement, honestly.
Let me say this. You helped me think of something interesting. If this was, let's say hypothetically, like, let's say this was the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. If we were the Texans and we just beat the Jaguars, that's a win in which I'm like, eh, okay, whatever. But it's because we dominated the 10-win Arizona Cardinals. And I know they had injuries too, you know, mainly to DeAndre Hopkins. I get that. But We were missing a lot of people.
I mean,
we were missing a lot too.
I can't even use that as an excuse. Exactly. We were not even nowhere near full strength.
Didn't Jared Goff even say after the game, like, on paper, we should not have been in that game or something along those lines?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he said it, but he's right. If he did, he's right.
I feel like I saw a quote from Jared Goff where he mentioned something like that. Like, which it's true, on paper, like, the Cardinals were 13-point favorites.
Yeah.
The Cardinals were 13-point favorites, man. And we dominated them.
Yeah, I mean, take out DeAndre Hopkins, take out the corner they lost, Robert Alford. That's still a team that should have killed us.
They still had Kyler Murray. And you know what? That's probably the piece that matters the most. They still had Kyler Murray. It's not like Colt McCoy was out there.
Yeah, they still have a lot of good skill players, too. Like Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, James Conner,
Chase Edmonds came back for that game.
Yeah, AJ Green. Like, their skill players are still good. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a loss. I'm not trying to underplay DeAndre Hopkins. But it's not like they're rolling out with, like, practice squad players. Like, these guys are still legit. Yeah, like, we were legitimately running with practice squad players. Like, these are legit players still.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of those guys are our number one probably right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I can't use injuries. I don't think a Cardinals fan has said it, but if they use injuries excuse, such as BS.
Well, you know, the Cardinals Twitter account, last I checked, they haven't tweeted the final score.
They never posted the final score.
We broke them. We literally broke them. Oh, goodness. But anyway, Tyler. Going back to what I was saying, if this was a win against, you know, Jacksonville or Houston, or I'll make this comparison again. If we were in Houston talking about the Texans being the Jaguars, that's a case in which it's like, okay, yeah, winning is cool, but, like, it's Jacksonville, and we dropped in the draft. Like, it's hard to really get too pumped after that one, you know? But in this case, I mean, we were missing so many people, and we dominated a 10-win Cardinals team at home, and going back to something I said when I was talking, like, this was a game in which, for me personally, and I know I'm not the only one who feels this way, it feels like the culture is really starting to change here in Detroit under Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. Did you see the locker room after that win, Tyler? There were people nationally who were like, yeah, you can tell just from this video, they believe in him, he believes in them. Forget the win-loss record. They believe in each other, and that's what matters most in a season like this.
Absolutely. No, yeah, you could definitely tell that. And you could talk to any person that's been in the NFL or just played football. It could be high school level. They could tell you that.
Exactly. That's why, like, I would understand if we beat the Jaguars. It's like, okay, why are you being so excited after this? But because it was the 10-win Cardinals and because, you know, it feels like the culture is starting to change. That's the
biggest thing for me that I agree with you. It seems like that was like a culture setter type of win.
Absolutely.
Where, like, last year, like I said, when they got like a win versus the Bears with Daryl Bevel, it's like cool. I mean,
the Jaguars.
I was already out on Patricia at that point. So, like,
I wasn't happy after that win.
Yeah. I just didn't care. You know,
exactly.
It's like, what's next? Okay. We'll go win more games. Then, you know, I'm more in. The circumstances are just way different, you know, because at that point, you had to win where Patricia was as a coach and why we hired him, where this one with Dan Campbell, we're just trying to set the culture that was previously, you know,
broken.
Yeah. that Caldwell built, that Patricia broke, that Campbell has to kind of just fix it again, basically. And that's a good start with that type of game, being a good Arizona Cardinals team.
Another thing I liked about that win was how many people offensively, defensively, coaching-wise, how many people stepped up in that game too?
Absolutely, yeah. No, a lot of guys stepped up. The offensive line, again, had a great outing. And since Taylor Decker's been back, Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker have been so fun to watch on that offensive tackle position, the offensive tackle position. So that's just a huge plus going forward. You look now and you look in the long term, that's a huge plus going forward. But, yeah, you mentioned it, you know, you mentioned Charles Harris. He had a great game. And I'm going to give credit to a coach, that's Aaron Glenn, who's getting the absolute most out of all these guys.
Yeah.
And then obviously got to give credit to all the players that are actually executing the game plan that is being placed by these guys. I mean, coming into the game, 5 minutes before the game, I find out Will Harris is starting at the outside cornerback spot. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's that bad right now. We're that talented deprived right now, but it didn't seem to be an issue at all. And I mentioned the Cardinals have good skill players. It wasn't like Will Harris, first of all, has like zero experience at outside corner, so it doesn't matter who he's going against. That's kind of a mismatch.
Yeah.
But like, these are legitimate receivers, even without DeAndre Hopkins. And it didn't seem to be a problem with the game plan that Aaron Glenn had in place. You know, he sent consistent pressure to kind of have Kyler Murray on his tippy toes. And the contain that they put on Kyler Murray in the defensive game plan, I haven't seen a Cardinals game at all, like from the games I've watched, I think ever since Kyler Murray's been there, where he's not been able to escape the pocket and gain some yards. The Lions, whatever game plan they had to contain Kyler Murray in that pocket, was absolutely unreal. And it's going to be interesting going forward to see if other coaches kind of mimic that game plan, because I think Aaron Glenn might have set something going forward for the Cardinals that he might have exposed something.
Yeah, I mean, throughout this entire season, Aaron Glenn has been an absolute home run hire from Dan Campbell. And now it's getting to a point with Aaron Glenn where I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. It feels like we're not going to have him for long, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing for him.
Yeah, but I'm saying for the Lions, like Lions fans, like I think people are scared. It's like, oh, we lose Aaron Glenn. What's next? Like, who are we going to hire? I think his plan that he has, like his mindset, I think it's kind of a trickling effect where this is a good thing. Where you got a culture where if you lose one guy, it's not a big deal because you have another guy that kind of just steps into that role. If that's Aubrey Pleasant, whoever it may be, steps into that role, and then he just kind of takes over and the ship continues, you know?
It's like the Tigers with A.J. Hinch and his coaching staff.
Exactly, yeah. Or just like, have you seen in Tennessee? Like, they lost LaFleur. He went to Green Bay. Arthur Smith steps in, you know? It's just a trickling effect. Everyone gets the mindset. Everyone has the same, you know, mindset going forward, and it doesn't matter who's taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to just trickle down to the next person down.
Mm-hmm.
We always have someone in place.
It's a good thing that we have coaches like this, though.
Yeah.
It's a good thing because
you're not just relying on one guy. If you lose him, then it's, you know, all hell breaks loose.
I mean, when was the last time we had a DC like Aaron Glenn?
Never. Never in my time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, Aaron Glenn has been an absolute home run hire. He's done a fantastic job this season, and Sunday's game was probably, I mean, it's a short sample size because we've only had two wins this year, but that was probably the most impressive defensive performance they've had this year, I would say.
They've had a lot of good defensive performances. But
the
defense
hasn't been a problem, honestly.
And statistically, it won't show that, but you have to actually watch the games to understand that.
Exactly, exactly.
Because statistically, the defensive numbers don't look good. But if you watch the game, you see the progress that they're actually doing, and you see how good Aaron Glenn is.
We're not losing these games because of the defense. Like we're mostly losing these games either because of coaching mishaps. I'll admit it, coaching mishaps, which have gotten better. You know, you do have to credit Dan because even I was saying when he first took over the play call, like, jeez, maybe he should give it back to Anthony Lynn. But now, over these last few games, Tyler, Dan Campbell's been opening up that playbook a little bit.
Credit Ben Johnson. Credit Ben Johnson. You know, since Campbell gave him a little dabble into some play calling, I wouldn't be completely shocked if he's our offensive coordinator next year. We'll see. That's still a long ways to go.
Yeah, but still, though, you got to give credit to Dan because it was looking bad at first, but now the offensive play calling has gone better. The coaching mishaps have kind of – there's been less and less of them, and there wasn't one in Sunday's game. There wasn't one instance that I can remember in Sunday's game where I was like, oh, geez, Dan, what are you doing?
I had one where I didn't agree with that ended up backfiring on me. It was probably the 4th-and-1 play. I thought they should have taken 3 points, but they ended up going 4th-and-1. It was like that little dump to Amon-Ra St. Brown, got the first down, then they scored the Josh Reynolds touchdown. So it backfired on me, but if it was me in that position, I was thinking field goal, but they scored.
Cliff Kingsbury had way more moments of
absolutely
than Dan Campbell.
Again, that's not even close.
Yeah, I can't think of one where I was like, oh, geez, Dan, what are you doing? Cliff had like 5 of them.
and when they went for that 4th-and-1, it wasn't like, oh, geez, what are we doing here? I understood the process. I thought differently of it.
Yeah, no. But again, like I said, there wasn't one instance for me personally in that game where I didn't even question anything Dan did on Sunday, and that's important because admittedly, there have been some moments this year where we have lost games because of stuff Dan has done. Mainly the Chicago game on Thanksgiving. But it seems like it's getting better. That's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. So it hasn't been the defense. It's been either coaching mishaps or it's been the quarterback play mostly. And you know what? I'll say this too with Jared Goff. I want to say this too with Jared Goff. If Eli was here, his jaw might hit the floor. And it might hit the floor as he's listening to this. But Tyler, I want to hear your thoughts on this. Jared Goff over the last few weeks has impressed me. And he has impressed me to the point where, I mean, we all know Jared Goff is going to be the starter next year. But I'm at the point where if and when Brad Holmes wants to put more pieces around Jared Goff and go, okay, next year, Jared, it's really your chance to show if you could be our guy, I'm cool with that.
Well, he's going to get that opportunity regardless.
He is, but earlier in the season when we didn't have a win, I was kind of dreading that. You know, I was like, oh, more Jared Goff next year. Woohoo! But now I'm kind of feeling like after these last few games.
You're intrigued.
I'm intrigued. Yes, that's a good way to put it. I'm more comfortable saying, okay, let's put some more pieces around him and go, here you go, Jared. Now, 2022, show us what you can really do now that we've got more pieces around you. Because that was one of the things coming into the season, Jared Goff. You could go back to an earlier episode before the season or one of my videos where I talked about how I kind of felt bad for Jared Goff because there's not a lot around him this year outside of TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift, you know. But now after these last few games, I'm kind of feeling like, okay, let's put some more pieces around him and maybe see what he could do next year.
Okay, I got a question for you. I think differently this, but do you think there's even a chance that Jared Goff could be our quarterback past 2022?
It's very little. But, okay, you know, I'm still willing to now give him the opportunity to prove himself next year. Put some more pieces around him and see what he can do. Because in the two games this season in which Jared Goff, making a Grant reference here, Grant has always talked about how there's a good and a bad version of Jared Goff. You know how he always says that? The good version of Jared Goff we've gotten this year, not only have we won both of those games, but he played pretty damn well. And he won NFC Offensive Player of the Week in our Minnesota win. I wouldn't be stunned if he won it again. Now, we'll see who that award eventually goes to, but even if he doesn't get it, I mean, he was 21 for 26 in that game with over 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. I wouldn't be stunned if he got it again.
I honestly think he deserves it more this week than when he got it that week versus Minnesota. I mean, that versus Minnesota, he almost lost the game when he did the interception.
True, very true. But, like, do you see the point I'm trying to make here, though? Like, yeah. The two games this year in which, in Grant's words, we have gotten the good Jared Goff, we've won both of those games, and he played very well. I'm willing to give him a shot next year.
I mean, I think he gets a shot regardless. Like,
Okay,
I got another question for you. So there was some chatter, and I've been one of the people kind of suggesting this as well. Are you against maybe just signing a cheap quarterback, a veteran guy, to kind of just compete with Goff? Don't want that?
No, absolutely. I'm not. Well, no, I'm not against that is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not against that.
Like, let's say, like, a Marcus Mariota, a guy like who started Tyrod Taylor, that. Whoever that is, right?
I'm not against that because with all due respect to Tim Boyle, you got to have a better backup quarterback.
Like, I want to see Goff actually earn the spot. I don't think Goff should just be handed the spot.
You could still draft one of these guys if you really wanted to.
If
you really wanted to, like, let's say hypothetically they spend that Rams pick on
a Sam Howell.
Whoever. Sam Howell, the kid from Liberty.
Mark Willis.
The kid from Nevada. Whoever.
Carson Strong, yeah.
Whoever. Let's say Brad Holmes finds a quarterback that he likes and he takes him. That's fine. I wouldn't be against that either.
Yeah. I don't like Drake taking quarterbacks usually late in the first round. That's just a different topic on a different day, but yeah. I mean, I think my point I'm trying to get to, I don't think Jared Goff should just be handed this starting quarterback spot in 2022. Do I think he wins it? I probably think he ultimately wins if he like competes with like Tyrod Taylor or Marcus Mariota. But I think it would be good to have some healthy competition.
I'm also not saying you should just flat out give him the job, even though I think most Lion fans can agree he will probably...
He'll probably win. I would agree with that.
He's probably going to be the starting quarterback in 2022. Like, I don't want to get that twisted. I know that he's going to get the job regardless. But the point I'm making here is I'm willing to give him a chance, though, to really show if he can be the guy next year. Do I think he is the guy? Honestly, no. I'll be rooting for him because I kind of like Jared Goff. But,
and it helps out if we have another top pick. You don't have to take it on the quarterback if he's that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it solves a lot of issues if Jared Goff could be the guy, but I just don't think he is that guy.
I don't think he is that guy either, but the point I'm making here is that after these last few games, I'm willing to give him a chance.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm willing to give him a chance. And yeah, I did not think I'd be saying that when we were, you know, winless and having games where it's like, oh, Jared.
I mean, I was already prepared for Jared Goff next year, so I guess
so was that's I. What, we all yeah, knew he again we all know he is very likely going to be the starter next year,
so I was gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and get another opportunity regardless. But
are you feeling more comfortable like I am though?
No. I mean, like, okay, how about this? I didn't think he was as bad as a quarterback as we saw earlier in the year. I think this is the kind of guy he is. Like, maybe not as good as we saw in Arizona, but, like, he's just an average quarterback. Yeah, I think he's an average quarterback, and that's fine. You know, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. That's just how I feel.
Like I said, I don't think he's the guy either.
I know that's not a bold take by any means. I know a lot of people don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
I know.
But, you know, I think he's here for now. That's fine. And... yeah, I guess I'm fine with it because, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if we had to watch Jared Goff for 17 games again, like we had to like watch that hit him for the rest of the year, let's say hypothetically, and then watch that again next year. I mean, like, they're not even watchable.
If we were still winless right now and Jared Goff was stinking it up, I would be like, even though he's going to be the starter next year, like, you just can't do it.
Yeah, no, I would like highly recommend like, then you have to really get a Tyrod Taylor or Marcus Mariota, and like they have to have like no bias who's going to be the starting quarterback in camp. Yeah. Like it's a fresh battle. Whoever's the best quarterback wins.
Yeah. But now after these last few games, I'm kind of feeling more comfortable with Jared Goff next year. That's the point I'm making here. But all right, then with that, let's get into the final thing I want to talk about here with that Lions win on Sunday, and that is from falling from 1-2. I already went over my thoughts. What's your thoughts on that, Tyler?
I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal because I think in this upcoming class, it's a fight of two players for the 1-2 spot between Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau. And I think for a team that is building from the trenches right now, and it seems like that's what the identity they kind of want to build, I think if you're either 1 or 2, I think that's a huge success because I think you're getting a very, very talented player at either of those positions. I thought you brought a good point up, too, of Brad Holmes just identifying talent. Like, obviously, the likelier chance of getting a better player is having the higher pick. Like, that's no secret, right?
Yeah.
But I think you bring up a good point. If we did win another game or two and our draft pick is, like, now 4 or 5 or maybe even 6, I think Brad Holmes could identify talent, and you just got to see how the draft board goes. I think there's still a chance. I'm not going to say if you're a 2, but I still think there's a chance that you still have the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The choice between Thibodeau and Hutchinson. I think there's a possibility maybe Jacksonville goes offensive line, like an Evan Neal at number 1, if they're the number 1 pick. So you still might have that choice at number 2. I mean, I'm at the point where I just want to build this culture. So I'm not team tank right now, just because if they're winning games and the buy-in's there and the coaching looks good, I think that's more encouraging than the pick itself. Because I think we mentioned that Brad Holmes could get talent. We have the trust in that he could get talent anywhere in the draft.
He found Penei Sewell at 7.
Which is just a crime that he was there at 7. Yeah.
And he got Amon-Ra St. Brown. When was that, the 4th or 5th round?
4th round, yeah, like pick 112, 113, something like that.
It was leave, like Derek Brown in the second round.
Yeah, Levi's been okay. Aleem has been pretty good for this team.
Mm-hmm. Derek Barnes with a fifth-round pick.
Oh, like, how about the undrafted free
agent? That was going to be my next point. That was going to be my next point. Yeah.
A.J. Parker.
Yeah, I trust Brad Holmes to make a good pick, whether he's drafting one, two, wherever. But another thing I want to mention with you, Tyler, I don't know if you remember the last episode, so it wasn't last week, it was the week before, we reacted to the other Lions win against Minnesota. During that episode, we kind of had a similar conversation, and we brought up how you were the one who mentioned, even if we fall from one to two, being a number two is not a bad thing. It's not like we're settling if we go from one to two. Because let's say hypothetically, even though you mentioned Jacksonville could go maybe offensive line with that first pick, even if one of the pass rushers, come on, Thibodeau or Aiden Hutchinson, even if one of them go number one, if we keep the pick, we're probably still going to take one of them at number two.
And it's not a bad consolation prize. No. It's not like Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green.
No, exactly. It's not like there's some can't-miss prospect like a Cade in the NBA at number one this year. There's no Andrew Luck in this class.
It reminds me of like the NBA class, the one before that, like the Anthony Edwards,
LaMelo, yeah, James LaMelo. Wiseman.
That's what this class reminds me of the NFL standard.
Which this isn't a shot at Kevon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson. They're both studs.
But they're not like clear-cut number one.
They're not Andrew Luck type prospects.
Or Trevor Lawrence, yes, or something like that, you know?
Yes. If there was a Trevor Lawrence or an Andrew Luck in this class, I would understand the people being mad at this win. Yeah. But the draft class, like, we fell from one to two. It's not like we dropped to four. We dropped from one to two. If it stays this way, we're still guaranteed one of those guys, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. We're guaranteed one of them, at least.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. Like you said, or like we've both said throughout this episode, I trust Brad Holmes to make the right pick regardless, and it's not like we fell from one to five. We fell to two.
But it obviously wouldn't hurt to stay in the top two and have the opportunity to guarantee Hutchinson or Thibodeau.
If this was our last win of the season, I wouldn't be mad.
Like, I wouldn't complain, you know?
I wouldn't
like
complain, no.
Yeah, like it doesn't hurt. But, like, if we win games, I don't understand how you can be mad, especially if they look dominant in these games. It's not like a fluke win where you had a lucky call or you had, you know, a lucky fumble, whatever. Like, whatever, right? If you're dominating teams, I think you have to look at that more as a positive. Like, look what they're doing with this talent. I don't think it really matters if you have number one, number two, or number seven.
It's not even just the fact that we dominated this game. It's the fact that we dominated the 10-win Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like, if this was, let's say, because we still have to play Seattle in a couple weeks. Seattle's got, like, what, three or four wins this year? They're obviously having a down year, and they're probably going to
playing in
a
tough environment, though. So, that I mean, if they win that game, that's a big win, too, in Seattle.
Well,
it's a tough environment.
I'm saying hypothetically, though, because that's still like a three or four win team or however many wins they have.
Talent-wise,
yes.
Yeah.
If we got a win like that, I'd be like, okay. I mean, a win is cool because it still builds the culture, and that's, I think, more important than getting a top pick. But, you know, it's a three-win team, you know. But Arizona is a 10-win team, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. No, I don't know, man. I was kind of like you. I was more like you when in the Patricia era. I didn't care. I didn't care about it. Like, because the standard was so low already, and like the wins and later in the year didn't mean anything to that team because you needed talent at that point. And obviously the better pick would have helped that. But with this year, you're building a culture. So like wins help go a long way. And I know what people are going to say where, you know, momentum doesn't carry on a year-to-year basis. And that's true because you're changing a lot of the locker room up and you're going to be doing that. But it just shows a lot to, I think, the fan base that if they could still win NFL games with this team, I mean, I don't understand why we're concerned for the number two or the number six pick. They're winning with a depleted roster. They're still going to get a good player, or they're going to have a good opportunity to get a good player.
We have a team in this city that should serve as kind of a good example for this conversation. It's a different sport, I get it, but the Red Wings are perfect for this argument, Tyler. I just thought of this. They're perfect for this argument. The Red Wings haven't won the lottery. When Stevie took over, our highest pick was number four. We've had the number four pick. We've had six a few times. Like, we haven't had a top one, two, or three pick with Steve Yzerman as our GM, but he still hit with those picks. He got Lucas Raymond at four. He got Mo Sider at six. He got Simon Edvinson, Sebastian Kosa in the first round of this last draft. Like, regardless of where Steve Yzerman has been picking, he's found studs in the draft. And that just serves as kind of trying to back up our arguments here. Regardless of where a pick is, I trust Brad Holmes to make the right pick. Though it would be great to have a top two pick. Like, I trust Brad Holmes regardless.
Yeah, that's just how I feel right now. I think winning is more important to just kind of get their feet wet and, you know, build a culture, a legitimate culture where, you know, you don't want to look like a pushover. You want to look like a team where people want to play for. Because I think that goes a far way in free agency too. I know, like, not next year, but I'm just saying long run. You know, a team that will never give up and, you know, a team that fights for their coach. I think that's someone you want to play for. So I think the draft pick and free agency, I think that could intrigue some free agents potentially down the line.
It's an easy answer, but still want to ask it. Would you rather be the Jaguars or the Lions right now?
That's not even, like, remotely close to a situation.
There you go. That's it. That's the point I'm trying to make here. I think even the Jaguars would, even with a franchise quarterback, they would probably take our situation because they're going to be looking for a new head coach again. And it feels like we have someone that's starting to fix and change what was a previously broken culture.
Guys, if you're a Lions fan, you could definitely relate to this. You guys had a franchise quarterback for 11 years. Coaching and culture makes a huge difference in the NFL. It's not just talent.
Bingo.
You had Matthew Stafford for 11 years. You had a great quarterback. You didn't win with him. It shows what a culture and a coaching staff could do in the NFL. It's humongous.
Bingo. Exactly. And that's why I'm still thrilled after that win on Sunday.
Yeah, you should be. Yeah. And I think Lions fans should be.
They should be. And I think most people are. I didn't see too many people being upset after this.
No,
win.
I didn't.
I mean, I had a few tweets where it's like, oh, there goes the draft pick. There goes number one. It's like, ah, okay, I'll mute you.
I think people are like happy with this one, but they don't want to see any more, which I could maybe understand that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, now. If they win another game and fall in the top two, I'm sure Twitter's going to be fun.
Yeah. That's where I think when people will start to get more mad. I think now that they're still at two, I don't think people are too mad because I think they're, you know, there's obviously a chance you're still going to get Thibodeau or Hutchinson in this situation. Yeah. Yeah. But I think if they beat Atlanta or like a Seattle, yeah, I don't know how happy Twitter will be.
We'll worry about that if we have to.
We'll worry about that if that situation comes.
But for right now, though, I'm feeling good. Tyler's feeling good. I think most Lion fans are feeling good. And, you know, I'll say this to end the show. Even though they're a two-win team, I'm feeling pretty good about this two-win team. Because as we've mentioned throughout the episode, it feels like the culture is starting to change. And that's more important to me than a top pick, honestly. So it's encouraging to be a two-win team and to feel this way about this two-win team. It's very encouraging to feel good about a two-win rebuilding Lions team. Because we could be like Jacksonville, who is going to need to find a new head coach. And they're just kind of a mess right now. But the Lions, like, we're not perfect. I'm not saying that. But we're seeing positive steps being taken. And that is super encouraging despite the win-loss record.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Tony.
All right. This is a good episode today, Tyler. Thank you for stopping by again. I mentioned earlier in the show this was our last episode for 2021. We're going to take next week off because Christmas is on the weekend. I'm not going to have all the guys get away from their holiday breaks off school and work to do an episode. So we're going to take next week off, and next time we'll be talking to everyone. It's going to be 2022. You got any New Year's resolutions, Tyler?
Ooh, New Year's resolutions. I haven't really thought about them, honestly.
All right, here's a better question for you because
I don't know. Like, I don't have one in my mind.
Well, here's a better question for you then because we're obviously not going to be here to do like a Michigan football preview whatever. I mean, we're not going to be here to kind of preview the Michigan Georgia game. So
we'll know the results. Yeah.
Yeah. So very quickly, give me your early pick for that game, Michigan or Georgia.
Oh, don't make me do this. I would love to say Michigan. I think it's going to be a really good football game.
It's going to be closer than people think.
Yeah. What's the spread at 6, I think?
Let me check right now.
I think it's like 6 or something. So I'll say this. I think it'll be a close game. I don't have a score in mind, but I think both defenses are going to show up. I think both have really good defenses, but I'm going to take George to win this game by a slight margin. I'll say they win by a touchdown. I'll say they win by 7.
The spread is 8.
Ooh, so it's a little under than what I just said. So I guess by my standard, I would take the Michigan spread, but I think Georgia wins.
My prediction, I still think Georgia wins, but a few weeks ago, I said I would have taken Georgia and Georgia to cover. Georgia losing their DC, I think, is going to mean something. They still got Kirby, and that's what matters most. But they did lose their DC to Oregon, so maybe that has an impact. I don't know. I still think Georgia wins, but maybe Michigan covers. I still think it'll be closer than people think. I would be stunned if it was a blowout.
Do you think it's going to be a high-scoring or low-scoring game? Both defenses are
probably
really good.
I would probably lean towards low-scoring because of how both teams are kind of built defensively.
Yeah, but the Michigan offense the last couple weeks have been showing up. OSU, Iowa.
That Georgia defense is going to be mad.
They're
going to be mad. Kirby's going to be mad.
They came off a terrible loss to Alabama.
They're going to be mad. I don't know. I'm still taking Georgia. Tyler is too. But we'll see. You never know. Especially with this Michigan team. We talked about it before. This is a different Michigan team. The whole Michigan's going to fold narrative, that's completely gone. So we'll see. But yeah, that's going to wrap this episode up. Until 2022, thank you all for listening, not just today but all year long. It was a good year for the Trash Talk podcast. Let's make 2022 even better. So for Tyler, my entire crew, my name is Tony Dabrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next year, technically.